Open the Word of God to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. While you're turning there, let me just brag on some people for a moment. I was so proud of our coach Kadena and the boys this week. They went to the state tournament. We had the regional last week, and we came in second place, runner-up. And then in the state basketball tournament, we made it to the Final Four, and then we lost by 2 points. And I was brokenhearted for the boys, but man, it was so close, wasn't it, guys? So close. That one last shot, I was, like all the fans, I was holding my breath, my fingers, and it just didn't go in. But you know what? We love you, and we're proud of you. We couldn't be more proud of you, and I just love to see the character that can be taught through sports and the people who work with that, from our sports director, Coach Davis, all the way down to the coaches that work at each level. We have several teams that people work with and give a lot of time to. So as a parent that has two children that benefit from the sports coaches, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you. Memories they'll never forget. Never forget. I'm excited today about this lunch for our musicians and our singers. Boy, they bring so much to our services. I know pastor after pastor who would give anything to have the singers that we have sitting in the pews. Lots of churches go week after week where maybe one person can sing a special and that person sings every week and they're just wore out. But I'm so grateful. And music is so important to the Lord. In fact, we're going to be looking at that a little bit today. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. If you're there, say amen. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to draw your attention to verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Through the hand of the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit gave us these words. And verse 19 says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray for just a moment. Dear Father, we come to you after having lifted your name up in praise. This morning we have done as you have commanded here. We have praised you, Lord, with psalms and songs and spiritual songs. And each of these songs had one thing in common that we're saying this morning. Every one of them glorified your name. Every one of them lifted up the power and the virtue and the honor of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you were pleased in it, pleased with it. But Lord, I pray that we will be people who sing for you, who give you this coveted gift, who lift up our voices in honor, because, Lord, you want to hear us sing. And, Lord, I pray that our people will understand the power of praise and the glory and the joy it brings to your heart. And I pray that today we can come closer to you and that you will truly hear us sing. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Word of God has a lot to say about music. Exodus 15:1 says this, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Judges chapter 5, verse 3 states, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. 2 Samuel 22:50 states, therefore, I will give thanks unto the Lord. O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. 1 Chronicles 16:23 says this, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. First Chronicles 16, verse 33 goes on to say, "Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22 says, "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." 2 Chronicles 23, 13 says, "And she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music, and such as taught to sing praise." 2 Chronicles 29, 30 says, "Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped." Job 29, 13, we see Job, this man of sorrow, as he states, "The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy." Psalms 9, verse 2 says, "I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." Psalms 13, 6 says, "I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Psalms 18, 49 says, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." Psalms 22, 13, "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power." Listen, I'm starting to think something here. I'm starting to think that God wants to hear you sing. Psalms 30, verse 11 goes on to say, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Psalms 33, 3 says, "Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice, a loud noise." Psalms 47, 6 says, "Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. My heart is fixed." Psalms 57, 7 says, "My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations." Psalms 59, 16 says, "But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. Thou hast been my defense and refuge. In the day of my trouble unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy." Psalm 66, 2 says, "Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious." Psalm 66, 4 says, "All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah." Hey, listen, I get the feeling something here. I get the feeling God wants to hear you sing. Psalms 81, 1 goes on to say, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet and the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day." Acts 16, 25, Paul gets into this thing. Listen to this. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Romans 15, 9, Paul writes, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." Hebrews 2, verse 12 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Hey, God wants to hear you sing. James 5:13 says, is any among you afflicted? Anybody out there afflicted? Anybody out there afflicted? Anybody got a burden? Anybody got a hurting heart? Anybody got a fear? Anybody got a trembling spirit? Listen, I got some counsel for you from the Word of God. He says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. It'll do something for you. Revelation 15:2 says, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast. Boy, what a glorious day that's going to be. He's doomed for defeat. He's doomed for defeat. This is his hour, and he is on his roll. He is romping around speaking big things, but he is going to be a loser. We see that all them that gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Revelation 5:11 says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. It was innumerable, and thousands of thousands. Oh, what a choir that's going to be. Amen. You ain't never heard anything like you're going to hear on that day. And then it goes on to say, sing with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and get this, fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever in heaven. We're going to be singing a lot for the glory of God. Beloved, God wants to hear you sing. Did you hear what I said? God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear you sing in your heart. God wants to hear you sing in your spirit. God wants to hear you sing in your voice. He wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear music for his glory. That's why he created it. That's why he designed it. God wants to hear the angels sing. I cannot wait until that day that my ears get to hear the angelic choir. Anybody with me on that? The Bible says that we'll be singing a new song in heaven. My mind has tried to grasp that, and I've tried to wonder about it, and I've wondered what this is going to be like. I have not seen nor ear have heard the glories that await us in that glory land. Angels are going to sing, and God wants to hear the angels sing. And God wants to hear the redeemed of the Lord sing. God wants to hear the birds offer their love song to the Savior with each new sunrise. God wants to hear the trees in the forest sing the praises of God. The Bible says the rocks cry out with their songs of God's glory. God wants to hear the church member with a beautiful voice sing. But God also wants to hear that church member who is lacking the ability to sing, sing as well. How many of you can say amen? Because that included me. Oh, God loves to hear you sing. God loves to hear you sing, just like a mama loves to hear her little toddler singing the glories. I remember when my kids were in the back seat of the car and we'd be driving and they would get to singing. Often all three of them would pick out a different song and sing it at the same time. And oh, they'd just carry that thing and they'd be back there in the back seat singing. You know one thing you can always know, when people are singing, there's joy in their heart. And you know what? Sometimes it wasn't on key. And sometimes they weren't the right lyrics. Sometimes what they heard in the song was not the right words that they were singing. And Mom and I would get cracked up sometimes hearing their renditions of a lot of the songs. I remember Savannah loved that song from the great gospel band, the Bee Gees. more than a woman. But she thought it was more than a pudding. And she'd sing that at the top of her lungs, more than a pudding. You know, I got to admit, I think that's a pretty good thing to sing a song about. Amen. There ought to be more songs about banana pudding. Amen. Somebody give me a shout. And her and I would just sing that to the top of our lungs. More Nana pudding. More Nana pudding for me. Listen, it didn't have to be on tune. It didn't even have to be lyrically correct. But it was beautiful for me to hear my children in the back seat singing their praise and relaying their joy that was in their heart. And you know what? God wants to hear His child sing. And it's not about vocal quality. It's about the love that you have for Him that He feels in every word. Oh, He wants to hear the redeemed of the Lord sing. He wants to hear that child in the pew sing. He wants to hear that baby in the nursery sing. He wants to hear that senior saint with a heart full of pain and hardships. He wants to hear that senior saint sing praises to God. God wants to hear that guitar sing. Did you know that? God wants to hear this guitar sing His glory. God wants to hear this. You know, some people get all bent out of shape about a guitar. You know, the devil's had it long enough. The devil didn't invent that. God invented it. Amen. It's because the devil pollutes it. We need to bring it back and use it for God's glory. Amen. God wants to hear that bass guitar sing for His glory. God wants it to be used for Him. God wants this piano to burst forward a melody that talks about His goodness, His greatness, His generosity, His graciousness. God wants to hear it sing. God wants to hear that drum pounding out the greatness of God's power. God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear that trumpet blast about His coming victory. God wants to hear that organ bringing forth His majestic grace and comfort. God wants to hear His children sing. God wants to hear the sinner sitting in the pew who looks into his life with regrets and mistakes, and he sees himself as the least of the brethren here, and he walks in the doors with a broken heart and humility, trying to hold his head up high. But God wants to hear that singer sing of His great mercy and God's wonderful grace. Do you know that grace is mentioned in the Bible 352 times exactly? It took me a long time to count those this morning. I thought I'd get a little more impressment out of you on that. Do you realize what that means? Do you realize, did you catch what I just said, Brother Eddie? 352 times the Word of God says the word grace in it. How many days are in a year? Do you know what God has given us in His Word? Grace for every single day. The Bible says, my grace is sufficient for this day. 352 times He uses this word, this beautiful word. God wants to hear that forgiven sinner, that person who sees himself as the least deserving of God's goodness, who's been saved from much, and saved of much, but He wants to hear that person sitting in a pew praising the grace of God. He wants to hear the saint who sits in church week after week sing of His power to not only save you, but to seal you in His glory. Do you know that you're sealed until the day of redemption? When God saved you, He didn't save part of you. He didn't save a little bit of you. God saved all of you. And when we sing, we're singing about His power to save, but not just the power to save, but the power to seal. He has sealed it. And one day we'll be redeemed, delivered through the Spirit to our heavenly home. God wants to hear us sing. God wants to hear you sing when you are happy. But not just when you are happy. God wants to hear you sing when you're sad. Beloved, did you know God wants to hear you sing when you're grieving in loss? As well as He wants to hear you sing when you are rejoicing in gain. I think of Job, who had just gotten the worst word that any person could get, and all of his children had been killed. We could see in the very first verses of the book of Job that Job loved his children exceedingly. He even gave extra alms for their benefit, saying, who knows if the Lord may bless my children, and he would give alms in their name to show the Lord how important they were. And here comes this attack of Satan. And old Job is told, your children are gone. Every one of them are dead. Every one of them, Job. The old devil was leaning in. He was ready to start hearing him swear. He was thinking, here it is. Here's the big moment. God's about to get a tongue lashing from Job. This is the fulfillment of my prophecy that he would curse your name. You let me have a touch at him. The old devil leaned in as Job fell into the dirt on his knees, broken. His health is gone. His wealth is gone. And now his children, 10 of them, all dead. And he falls into the dirt and he says, naked came I into this earth. And naked I'm going to go out. And I imagine the old devil leaned in. This is going to be big. He's fixing to lay into the Lord, buddy. He's about to lay in his grief, and he's about to let the Lord have it. Then all of a sudden, he dirt on his face. He looks up to the heavens and says, but blessed be in the name of the Lord. Can you imagine the victory? God wants to hear you sing when you get the worst day of your life. God wants to hear you sing after you get the worst news you could ever hear. God wants to hear you sing when you feel like quitting. God wants to hear you sing when you've been punched in the nose. God wants to hear you sing when you just endured a loss. Just as much as he wants to hear you sing when you're rejoicing in gain. God wants to hear you sing in death. God wants to hear you sing in life. God wants to hear you sing in victory. He wants to hear you sing in defeat. God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear you sing when you're in confusion. God wants to hear you sing when in despair. Anybody out there this morning? God wants to hear you sing when you're in the valley of decision and you're confused and you don't really know what to do. God wants to hear you sing when you're prosperous. God wants to hear you sing when you're in need. God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear you sing when he gives. God wants to hear you sing when he takes away. God wants to hear his children sing. Now I want to give you this and I'll be done. Remember this when you sing. Remember this when you sing. Number one, God's presence fills the room. The Bible says that he inhabits praise. Think about that when you're in that emergency room and you feel so lonely. Like Paul and Silas did after being beaten and thrown into a prison. And chained inside that prison cell, wondering what was going to happen to them. But they said that they began to pray and they began to praise and they began to sing. And all the prison heard them singing. When most of the time the prison heard curses. Most of the time the prison was filled with people shouting obscenities and threats and words of anger. But yet they heard them sing. And their chains were broken. And the prison walls that held them were shaken. The presence of God filled that room. And they were set free. Listen, God's presence fills the room when you sing. He inhabits praise. He is drawn to it. He comes to you when you sing to him. Remember that when you're sitting in your kitchen looking at a stack of bills. And you're worried. And you don't feel like anybody cares. And you need the touch of God on your shoulder to tell you it's going to be all right. God inhabits praise. And even in your misery, if you praise the Lord and you lift your voice and you sing to him in your prayers, you'll feel his presence in that. He's drawn to it. There's a second thing I want you to remember about when you sing. God's power falls upon you. God's power falls upon you. We see the power of God. I read you one of the verses where They were surrounded. They were doomed. And they didn't know where victory would come from. And the Bible says they began to sing praises to the Lord. The Bible explains then that the Lord defeated their enemies. God's power fills the room. God's power falls upon you when God hears you sing. Remember this, number three, God's grace will fill you when you sing. God's grace will fill you. I don't know why, but it's magical. It's supernatural. It's the power of God in it. But when you start singing on your darkest day, light starts to penetrate your heart. A preacher friend shared about how they'd gone through a horrible thing. A thing that was going to cost their church millions of dollars, a mistake that had been made, and a lawsuit had been filed, and there was no winning it. They knew it. There was no maliciousness in it, but it was a horrible mistake involving some buildings that they had purchased. And the church was devastated and was not anybody's foresight or anything that anybody could see that would know this would happen. It was just one of those things that happens sometimes. And everybody was upset. The pastor came in on that Sunday night to a church that was now realizing they were going to have to come up with all this money. And he prayed all day about it. He said, "Lord, I don't know what to say to our people to encourage them. And I don't know what to... I don't want to make a bunch of excuses and blame shifting. I don't want to. We just got to get through this." He said, "I didn't know what to do even until the moment that I walked into my auditorium to comfort our church." And he said, "As I was walking to my pulpit, still praying for God to give me words to comfort and encourage our church," he said, "I did the only thing the Holy Spirit brought to mind." He said, "I stepped to the mic and with the humility of a voice that's not a trained singer, he began to just simply sing, 'Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy.'" He sang it alone. Then he just started singing it again, a second time, same verse. Then a few people over here started singing with him. Then he sang it a third time, and some people over here started singing with him. He sang it a fourth time, and the whole church stood up and sang it with him. He said, suddenly people began to weep and began to cry. And people began to, without even being prompted, to come to the altar. He said, suddenly out of this thing, people began to be encouraged. And they began to hug each other. And they began to come up to him and saying, "Preacher, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right." I'm telling you something. You start singing and praising God, God's grace will empower you. It will fill your heart. Where you feel there is no hope and you feel there is no joy and you feel there is nothing but darkness in your life, when you learn the power of praising God and God hears you sing in your darkest day, you're going to find God's grace welling up in your heart. It'll power you. Lastly, remember this, when you sing, great things will happen. Great things will happen. God wants to hear you sing. I'll close with this. The story is told about a Coliseum in Chicago where an atheist had booked a meeting on the tail end of a concert. It was a secular music concert, but it packed the building out, and he had booked the concert so that he could get up and say some things on his agenda. He came up at the conclusion, a packed arena, and he began to share some things in his atheistic heart, things to cause people to doubt the existence of God. And in that, he began to challenge God, and he began to swear and to curse, and he began to even take a beloved Bible where he began to tear pages out of it as he cursed the Lord. And he challenged anybody in the room to come up on the stage and debate with him the existence of God. Packed arena. Both saved and unsaved people inhabited the place. And everybody stood quiet. Nobody dared to take up the challenge. He stood there like a Goliath, seeming to be invincible in his arrogance, in his preparation for this moment. And Christians stood there with their head down. But the story is told about how an 11-year-old girl sat in the pew outraged at this man. How dare he speak of the living God this way? And how dare he desecrate this precious book? And like a modern-day David, she stood up and she walked to the stage. This man looked at her and began to chuckle, realizing she would be no intellectual challenge for him. He handed her a mic, to which then she took the mic, and all she did was she started to sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The crowd began to watch her. She went to the second verse. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. All of a sudden, about 10 other teenagers jumped up. They ran up and they stood next to her. And they started the first verse all over again. Before you knew it, a bunch of people over in this section came up to the stage. Before you knew it, people over in this section came up to the stage and they just kept singing repetitively, I have decided to follow Jesus. All of a sudden, revival broke out in that room and there were tears. The power of God showed up. And that arrogant, boisterous atheist, after about 8 renditions of that old classic praise song, somebody said, where is he? Somebody said, he ducked out the back door like a little weasel. He was no match for the power when God's people learn how to sing. Let's bow our heads. God wants to hear you sing, beloved. God wants to hear you sing. Great things will happen when you learn to sing. And I'm not just talking about singing in a choir, although that's a part of a process. I'm not just talking about singing a special or a hymnal in church. I'm talking about that lonely hour, the darkest night, when you're lying in your bed and you're afraid. God wants to hear you sing, beloved. That time that you feel that God didn't answer your prayer the way that you wanted Him to answer it, and you feel that disappointment. God wants to hear you sing. When you're standing in the loneliest place in the world, a graveyard, you're saying that final goodbye, God wants to hear you sing. Sing of that land of eternal rest. Sing of that great reunion that's coming one day, and sing of His salvation. God wants to hear you sing. Let me ask you this, beloved. If you're here today and you're born again, would you just raise your hand? Testify with me. I see hands everywhere. You may lower your hands. Would there be anybody here today that says, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know for sure, but I want to be saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody? I want to help you this morning. God wants to see you saved. He wants you to partake of that glorious salvation that He has provided through the death of His Son. Oh, beloved, has God heard you sing lately? Has God heard you sing in the cab of a lonely car? Has God heard you sing in the face of troubling stress? Has God heard you sing when you're locked in the prison of despair, depression? Victory comes when you learn to sing. Dear Father, I want to sing for you. And I want my heart, my spirit to sing for you. I want it to be a beautiful, tender thing to your ears. And I want you to inhabit my life. And I want my life to be a song for you. And Lord, there are days that are troubling days. And times that the song that I sing resembles more of the blues than the praises. Songs like, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, I need thee. I've sang that to you in the still quietness of a prayer chamber when I was faced with things and I didn't know what to do. Lord, there's times I've just stopped in my prayer and I just sang that song and sang it and sang it till I got up from my knees refreshed with direction and a renewed spirit. Lord, I know there's power in the praising of you. Help us to find that power. Help us to find our singing voice. We ask this in your blessed name. Are you ready to come do business with the Lord? Let's stand together. Come on down.